The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, that's our study tonight. I would like to tell you, as we get ready to go into this study, that maybe just take a very quick bird's eye view with you of the events that are going to be taking place. I was talking with someone today, and I think it's important that I say this to you. Any teaching that you ever hear that takes away the imminency of Christ's return, that means any teaching that you ever hear that takes away the feeling that Jesus could come today, any teaching you hear that takes that away, can it? Get rid of it. It's not of God. The Bible says that it is the hope of seeing Jesus that causes us to purify ourselves even as He is pure. And any teaching that says, well, you got a good 50 or 100 years, you know, a long time before Jesus is going to come, that is false teaching. All of the New Testament taught, the teaching of the New Testament was, be ready. For in a moment that you think not, the Son of Man's going to come. That's the teaching of the New Testament. It's the teaching of Jesus. It's the teaching of all of the New Testament writers. So, having said that, let's say, here's the events. The trumpet will sound, and Jesus will return. Any day now. Hallelujah. It could happen that we would never go home from church tonight. Me too. It could happen that the trumpet would sound while we're here gathered, and that's it. Praise God. Hector? But is Wednesday night okay? Okay, praise God. Praise God. The trumpet will sound, and the rapture will take place. We will be caught away instantly. We will be the only ones who hear it. The unbelievers will not hear that trumpet, but we will hear it. And it will immediately cut us loose from gravity. And we will take off. We will just take off. Our clothes will drop off. We will be robed in a pure white robe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we will meet the Lord in the clouds. We will meet Him in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. All right. We will meet him in the clouds. He will go with us. He will take us with him into his Father's house. And he will introduce us to the Father as his bride. We will enter into a time of celebration where we will have the marriage supper of the Lamb, the reception. Hallelujah. And we will also at that time receive our rewards. Now, there will be no judgment for the Christian. That judgment was all laid on Jesus. Jesus became our sin for us. And so there will be no judgment. The judgment seat is for the unrighteous dead, not the righteous. The righteous are as pure as though they had committed no sin. They are as pure as Jesus is pure because we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. At the end of that, while we are there for that 7-year celebration, the tribulation will be taking place on the earth. The first 3.5 years it will be called the tribulation. The second 3.5 years it will be called the great tribulation. It's so much worse in the last half. The first 3.5 years, the 6 seals will be opened. 6 of the 7 seals on that book. And the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse will take place during the first 3.5 years. The last seal will be opened. That's the beginning of the great tribulation. And after that last seal is opened, then comes the 7 trumpet judgments. And on the 7th trumpet, the 7 vial, judgments will be poured out. And that will be the seven-year period. At the end of the seven-year period, the earth will have been thoroughly purged. It will be redeemed. It will be renovated. It will be made new. And Jesus will come with us. And we're going to see that tonight. What I'm going to do tonight is give you the five horsemen of the apocalypse. I'm going to give you the four horsemen of chapter 6. And then if we have the time, we will go to chapter 19 and see the fifth horseman, who is Jesus himself, followed by some lesser horsemen, which will be us. We will come with him out of heaven back to this planet. And we will come and we will rule and reign with Christ on planet Earth for 1,000 years. Nobody, you're ready. Do I take it that you're ready, brother? He's getting so excited he can't sit. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. John, I tell you, don't you ever lose that excitement. Don't you ever lose it. I don't think you'll have long enough to any. I believe Jesus is coming very soon. I believe the coming of the Lord is upon us. In fact, he said that to us Sunday in that word that we had from God. He said that that window is not going to be open long because the time is short before his return. We will come back to this planet and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's called the millennial reign of Christ, or the millennium. The millennium meaning what? 1,000 years, or 1,000. At the end of the millennium, Satan will be loosed for a little season. He will be in the great abyss, or the bottomless pit. He will be loosed from there for a little season, so that the people that were born during those tribulation, during that millennial reign, those people have had to obey Christ because it was the kingdom of God and nobody could step out of line. Satan will be loosed so that all of them will be tempted and make their choice. Everybody has to make their choice. See, that's why you say, why does there have to be a Satan? Why does there have to be temptations? You have to be tempted so that you make a choice. You have to choose Jesus Christ. He forces no man. It's amazing, but the grace of God is so great. And after they have made their choice, the wicked dead with Satan will be cast into hell. And that will be the end, as far as opportunities are concerned, for Satan and all of those who chose him. And the saints of God will enter into the ages upon ages. Eternity. And it's going to be endless opportunity. Heaven is not going to be sitting in a rocking chair playing a harp. Heaven is going to be glorious opportunity. I believe, this is just what I understand, as I read and study what God shows us of eternity, I believe that probably all of the planets that are out there will be ours to enjoy. We will be able to go wherever we desire to go, and we will not need a Ford. Hallelujah. That's not in the scripture. That's conjecture. I don't believe that God made anything that is useless. I believe that it's very evident. When you look at the whole creation, you look how the plants, look at the trees, how they provide oxygen for us. We exhale carbon monoxide, which is their food. Carbon dioxide. And that is their food. That is what they take in. And here is the plan of God of giving and taking. And the beautiful plan of recycling that God has through the whole universe. Look at the water, how it falls down in rain, goes down through the ground, and goes out to the seas and is drawn back into heaven and into the clouds to come back down again. I mean, it's just marvelous. So I don't think anything is out there just to waste. John? No. two-thirds of them will have died. One-half to two-thirds. Some say one-half, some say two-thirds. Will have died through the judgments that were poured out. You'll see some of them tonight. It's going to be an awesome, awful time on this earth. If there were no hell, if there was just the tribulation, nobody wants to go into that. It's so terrible. The people who survive it, many of them will not have surrendered to the Lord, which is evident by the fact that when Satan is loosed, they're going to follow him. So they're only going to be held in check by the awesome power of God. And Satan is going to be bound, so there'll be no tempter. And there'll be no sin, and there'll be nobody step out of line for 1,000 years. But then there will be that time of choosing. So those people will not all be righteous and prepared. They will just be subdued. I don't know. What happens to the animals? Some people have told me that there are going to be cats in heaven. And I said, I don't believe it, Emily. Gay thinks so too. Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe in your house. I know there won't be any in my house because it's going to be heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Revelation chapter 6. Would you like me to tell you? It will be perfect. There you go. It will be perfect. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you, folks, there are storms. There are dreadful storms that are brewing in our earth right now that are very clear signs that Jesus is coming. If you read Matthew 24 and Luke 21, and if you haven't read them lately, please jot them down tonight and read those two chapters, Matthew 24 and Luke 21. All of those signs are in the earth tonight. The prophetic signs that say Jesus is coming. There are terrible, terrible storms brewing. Not just earthly storms, although they are too. How about the earthquakes? And that's one of the signs. How about the nation of... How about the United States today, yesterday and today? On the East Coast, it was warmer than it has ever been at this time of the year. And on the West Coast, they were having snow. San Diego, 37 degrees. There's an upheaval. There's an upheaval in the elements. Yes, it says that the whole creation will be groaning in travail, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our bodies. The whole creation is waiting to see the saints redeemed. And our bodies transformed. Hallelujah. I would like to say tonight that the clock is ticking. And if you don't hear it, you better open your ears. We don't have long till the coming of the Lord. And I think that most of us here tonight are experiencing, when we hear about the coming of the Lord, we're experiencing what the scripture said. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And I think I witnessed that just looking at you tonight as we talk about it. The saints of God are saying, come! Come, Lord! Come! Let's go. There's only one thing that tells me, hold steady, Lord. I want to see Elizabeth experience a revival before Jesus comes. I want to see this city experience the joy of salvation. I want to see the bound, as we prayed before church tonight, the bound souls. There's so many bound souls in this city. Bound in drugs, bound in alcohol, bound in sex sins, bound in their minds, tormented. I would like to see the joy of salvation from end to end on this city. How about you? Shall I give you something to pray about? We're talking with YWAM about this summer. You know, we've always had invasion the last 3 years. I have had a check in my heart about invasion for this summer. I felt it was something else. And when I mentioned it to the pastors and Brother Tim the other day, Brother Tim was the first. Now, you know, he was Mr. Invasion himself. Tim said, "Oh, am I glad you said that. I feel there's something else too." We talked to YWAM about the possibility of YWAM and us going out every Wednesday night, July and August, to a different strategic spot in this city and having outdoor meetings to bring salvation out to the streets and to the city. And Brother Nick Savoca said, "I think there is a very strong possibility that we can do that together." So pray on that, folks. That will be dunamis. Hallelujah. All right, let's... Chapter 6, verse 1. "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." You remember there was nobody found worthy to open the book but the Lamb who became what? The Lamb who was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right. "The Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow." Notice, he had no arrows. "And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." We mentioned to you last week that, and we will show you, that this is not the white horse rider of chapter 19. This is not the same rider. This is the deceiver. He rides on a white horse and he tries to do the same things. He's coming out conquering and to conquer. He wants to look like him, but he is not the Christ. He is the Antichrist. For every real, there is a fake. For every genuine, there is a counterfeit. And the amazing thing that you will see about the Antichrist, he's coming out with a bow, but no arrows. You know why? Because he's involved in a warfare, but it's not a warfare like with spear and with weapons. He's not coming like Jesus comes. Jesus comes with a sword. Where does the Lord carry the sword? In his mouth. How come? Because it's the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But this counterfeit comes with a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer, okay? I guess we better take a moment, just a moment, for you that were not here. How many of you were not here last Wednesday night? You were not here. All right. Just take a moment and go back to 2 Thessalonians. We need to touch one verse there. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. See, the Antichrist is not a creator. He's a counterfeiter. He's not an innovator, he's an imitator. He can't do anything on his own, just like Satan. Satan doesn't have any new ideas. Satan is mimicking God. Everything he sees God do, he tries to do. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, I guess you have to really understand what this is saying. Look at verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, that's the Antichrist. His coming is going to be very powerful. The Antichrist's coming is going to be very powerful. The whole world is going to be deceived by him. He is going to come. No questions right now, George. He is going to come. The first feat that he will do is to bring peace between the Arabs and the Jews. And when he brings peace between the Arabs and the Jews, the whole world is going to stand back and say, "This is the Christ," which is exactly what he wants them to say, because he's going to tell them that he is. And they're going to be deceived. Now, let me show you how. Verse 9 says he'll be coming with the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who what? Those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now hear it. Here's the reason. The reason is they refused to receive a love of the truth that their souls might be saved. I heard about someone who came to church on Sunday, and when the Spirit of God began to move, this person got up and ran out because they couldn't stand the conflict that they felt within. You know what, folks? I pray that our church will become that kind of church. I pray that people will have to either get in or get out. That they will not be able to come here and stay in sin and living in sin and enjoying sin and be able to be comfortable in the presence of the saints and of the Holy Spirit of God. No! Let us pray that the power of God will be among us with such intensity that people will have to get up and run to the altar like someone did last week. They couldn't wait for the altar call to be finished. They came up. They couldn't wait. See, that's it. We want that. Oh, Holy Spirit, hear us. That's what we want. Hallelujah. That men will have to get right or get out, but not be comfortable in their sin. Okay. God, look what it says. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this reason. Because they wouldn't receive a love of the truth, for this reason, God will do what? God will send them. God will send them. Where is it coming from? God. God will send them strong delusion that they should believe. Now notice, I like it that our New King James has it this way. It's the only one I've seen. Because this is the proper translation as I've been studying it in the with the original languages. That they should believe the lie. What lie? That the Antichrist is the Christ. That is the lie. And God will send them strong delusion that they will believe this. They'll have no choice in the matter because they refused the love of the truth that their souls might be saved in the days of opportunity. When this time comes, opportunity is over because God sends them strong delusion. Now see, that totally blows what I heard preached all my life as a child. I can hear evangelists. I can remember in my childhood days evangelists coming to our church and saying, if the day comes that you know that the rapture took place and you missed it, then whatever you do, don't take the mark of the beast, because you will probably have to give your life as a martyr and be beheaded, but whatever it takes, refuse to take the mark of the beast so you'll be saved. I have a question. If in the days when all the saints were around us and the Holy Spirit was working mightily in the church and the glory of God was there present and God was doing great and wonderful things, if in those days we couldn't say yes to God, how are we going to say yes when all that's gone? It makes no sense at all to me. But this verse tells you, don't even worry about it. If you refuse the love of the truth that your soul might be saved, God will send you, the moment that the Antichrist is revealed, God will send you strong delusion that your soul will be damned. Look what it's the last verse. That they all might be condemned, or damned, it says in the Old King James. That they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth. Here it is. But had what? Had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, if we find pleasure in unrighteous deeds, God is angry at that. That is not temper, that's wrath. I have been studying about the wrath of God the last few days. It's a very awesome thing. I'm not certain, but this is what I'm feeling, and I just like to sound it out to you tonight. I'm feeling that it may be that rather than go through all the chapters one by one of Revelation, that I should preach some sermons on the second coming of Jesus rather than finish studying the book of Revelation chapter by chapter. I don't know. I'm not sure. But this is what I've been feeling the last 2 days. How many would feel good about that if that's the way I felt directed to go? You feel good about that? Okay. Huh? Yeah, amen. I really think we might do that because I believe we need to hear preaching on the second coming these days. I believe that. Let me pray about it. All right. Choice is now. Choice is now. Hear me. Choice is now. You see, God will not be mocked. God's not going to let you have pleasure in unrighteousness now. And then when it's the last minute and the Antichrist is revealed, you're going to say, oh, now I don't want to go to hell, so I want the fire escape. God will not be a fire escape. God will be your God. Okay, but now see, that will depend with them. It will depend on how much light they've had. If they've had enough light to choose darkness rather than light. See, here we're getting into lines drawn. We can't draw those lines. I think with all of them that haven't really known the Lord, that you're still witnessing to, we should stay in a point of absolute faith for them to be saved. This is talking about people who defied God, who had the knowledge of the truth, and chose their love of pleasure in sin, and canned the truth. I can't draw those lines, and neither can you. We shouldn't even try. We should believe for our unsaved loved ones, absolutely. But this takes playing with God away from the church. That's what this does. That's why I'm emphasizing it, because I feel God's people need to know you can't trifle with salvation. We can't. Amen. All right, go back to Revelation 6. They will believe the lie. Let me just tell you, if you're taking notes, let me give you five things that the Antichrist is going to attack. The Antichrist spirit is already attacking five things, five institutions of our society that are under heavy attack by the spirit of Antichrist in our day. The first one, of course, is the home. Yes, the family, the home. Let me give you three ways that I see this under attack. The home is under attack, number one, in marriages. I would like to say that a lot of things that are happening in marriages these days are not natural things. They are supernatural. They are supernatural attack to destroy and devastate families. Satan, Antichrist spirit, is in the world to devastate families. I heard on a newscast today The newscaster said, well, since we know that 6 out of 10 marriages are going to fail anyhow in the United States today. And I said, has it gone to 6? I knew it was 5 point something. He said 6. Can you imagine? Every bride that walks down the altar in America, 6 out of 10 are going to end in divorce. That's Antichrist spirit already in our world, destroying. And America now is the number one divorce nation of the world. Number two, the children. Number two is the relationship of parents and children. There has never been a day when that is so under attack. And what are some of the forces that Antichrist spirit is using to devastate these relationships? Drugs, rock music, alcohol, sex. Yo, that's another one. TV, the whole setup. That's the next one. That's the next item, the next main item is schools. But the whole thing is going the wrong way. And you see, if we didn't know that God is God, you know what we'd say? What's the use? What can we do? How can we fight against this tide? But you know what? God has a big hand. God has a big hand. And that hand is moved by the prayers of the saints. And I believe another thing that God is going to show us. God is going to show us in these days how to have more effective prayer times. Hallelujah. All right. The third thing that I see is being attacked is our use of time. Our use of time in our homes. Our use of time in our homes. We're living in a day where you have dishwashers, washing machines and dryers, you have microwaves, you have all these things to save time. So that's why we have oodles of time now, right? I don't understand. We have less time than we ever had. And so, when there is time, family time, families don't know how to be families. The TV comes and takes center stage, and if one of the children has something they want to ask the parent says, shh! It's pathetic. It used to be that children could do homework with their parents. It used to be that children would sit down with their parents before bedtime and hear a Bible story read and talk about it a little bit and then kneel at mom and dad's knees and pray. And I want to tell you what, brothers and sisters, I want your kids to have that. And you can see to it that they do. Praise God. All right, the home, the church. The church is also under the attack of Antichrist spirits. I'll tell you a little book that I'd like you to read in your Bible to show you this. It's only 4 chapters, Malachi. If you will read the book of Malachi, you will see that the church is being ripped off in 3 ways. They're being robbed at the altar. They're being robbed in the pulpit. And they're being robbed in their treasury. And I have so many things to say about this. And I know I can see I'm not going to get finished tonight. And we're not on a time clock, so I won't have to finish tonight. We'll finish it next week. The school system. Humanism has taken over in our school system. When I think of of our kids. Someone said to me, how important is the Christian school, do you think? I said, to me, if I had small children today, I don't care what I would have to give up. I would have my children in Christian school. Because I see that the erosion of the school system, I see the erosion. Someone told me that they took one of the Christian school workbooks into a public school. And a public school teacher saw it and said, what is that? Let me see it. And she looked at it and leafed through it. And she said, oh, if we could have a curriculum like that. The school system. Number four, business. Do you realize how Antichrist has invaded America's business? Only 5 years ago, America was the greatest creditor nation in the world. In 5 years, we have become the greatest debtor nation in the world. How has it happened? You see, don't blame Japan. Don't blame Japan. It has happened through our godlessness. We opened the doors wide. We sold our riches for garbage. The gross national product. Everyone is so frightened. What security do we have for our money? You know, with everything going this way. The trade deficit. I tell you, folks, the business world, government. Let's talk about government, the last one, number five. What's happened to our government? We have legalized, in the last few years, we have legalized gambling. We have legalized abortions. We have just legalized in several states now sodomy. It's been legalized in several of our states. What's happened? Where are we going? Because God has been replaced. Delusions have come in. The Supreme Court, more than any other one place. Thank God there are some changes starting to take place in the Supreme Court. And I believe it's possible that we can see that turn around. But look at our judges. Look at the mayor of New York. Mayor Dinkins said, since I am mayor of this city, every person that is involved with Operation Rescue will know that we in this city will tolerate it no more. Now, your pastor is coming up next month in the Bronx on charges. I've been arrested. I may be in jail. If I am, folks, I want you to have church. Hallelujah. Have powerful church. And we'll have a revival in the Bronx jail. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My wife's not clapping. I'll tell you what. We are at the point where we are going to have to take our stand. If a Mayor Dinkin can scare us and say, okay, well now if he said that, we better not get arrested then. We better not, you know, we better not do this anymore. We'll just let the abortionists murder these babies and just walk with a little picket sign and say, we'll write to our senator. It's tough days. But I want you to know, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We are winning. That's right. Hallelujah. Happens to be the word he gave us for this year. All right. So can we look at one more horse before we go home? Let's look at one more horse. Verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." And another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted, notice up in verse 2, it says he was given, and this one says it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. What does this mean? Now, I think the last little statement is very important. And there was given to him a great sword. There is going to be given to the second, the red horse rider, there is going to be given the ability to take peace from the earth. And for people to be slain and murdered. What's it talking about? Well, let's just talk about some of the things that in our generation have come into sight. How about nuclear warfare? Which includes atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, and cobalt bombs. Each of them is stronger than the next. How about biological warfare? Are you aware that our government and the Russians have biological warfare in giant cans sealed underground that could be brought out and unleashed that would devastate nation, right, with sickness and disease? How about the plague that's been unleashed in our day? AIDS. Unbelievable. You don't know exactly what to believe about it because we've heard a lot of varying things. But the one thing you know, if you've ever seen anybody that's dying with it, it's awesome. In my reading, I came across a couple of things I had never heard of. Let me tell you them. Have you ever heard of Dr. Tesla's beam? Dr. Tesla's beam is actually able to annihilate an army of 1 million men from a distance of 250 miles away. That beam would be turned on them from 250 miles away, and 1 million men would be annihilated. Listen to this one. Did you know that there is now a gas that can be unleashed in the air that will cause the motors, the jet engines of planes, to stall in flight? Have you heard of this one? Have you heard of the fractional orbital bomb? Russia already has these. They carry 12 or 13 heads aimed at in different directions, pre-aimed before they are unleashed, so that they can wipe out 12 or 13 major cities from one bomb. They'll just all go in different directions, unleashed at a given moment, and there they are. This is the third horse rider. I'm sure that these things are set in stage. These things will happen. Praise God, we won't be around. Think of the plan. See, I know people who think we're going to go through the tribulation. They think Jesus is going to come at the end of the tribulation. I can't see it anywhere in Scripture. I really can't. I think I should read a couple of verses to you. I don't want to leave you on this heavy note. Because this gets good at the end. And we're not going to finish this chapter. But let's just take a couple of verses from chapter 19. Will you turn with me to 19? And will you stand together after you find it? And let's just read. If you have the New King James, let's read a few verses out loud together. We'll start at verse 11. And let's read out loud together. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who is that? Hallelujah, that's us. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast. Now who's that? That's the Antichrist. I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire and with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. You see, you can't read anywhere in the book of Revelation without hearing judgment. Okay, here comes Jesus on the white horse. And it's victory. But it ends with what? Judgment. The Feast of the Birds. You know what that is, right? That's all these slain men that the scavengers are going to come down and eat their flesh. And God calls it the Feast of the Birds. Tonight, we have heard a message of impending judgment. For the saints, it is not grief. We won't be there. But brothers and sisters, I feel God is trying to say to you tonight and to me, carry my grief for the lost. Those who don't know Jesus have nothing but agony ahead. And if they're going to be saved, how are they going to hear? Come on, how are they going to hear? We will either tell them or they will not hear. We are the only Jesus that they will see. We are the only Bible they will read. Keep telling them anyhow. Tell them with your love even more than your words. Let's come up to the front to pray together before we go home, shall we?